Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. Here is Corey Hawley in this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 17, Number 1. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was PSN number 39, the future of the human diet. With the advent of science and technology in the field of nutritional medicine, we should all be extremely optimistic about the future, as the evidence continues to surface proving that refined food is as hazardous to our species as tobacco smoking. More food processors will cater to better educated consumer demands. However, the food quality for now overall will continue to get worse before it gets better. Vested corporate interests focused on profit only will continue to lobby and fight tooth and nail to maintain their grip and control on food production. Incentive to change a lifestyle incongruent with health and its preservation must also be addressed socially with long-term vision, but it can only happen one person at a time. This is why our personal commitment to eating clean is so important. Each and every time we buy something unfit to consume for ourselves or anyone else, we are supporting the industry that manufactures it. It is we, the people, who must take back the control of our own health and destiny one person at a time. Let's be responsible and accountable for our actions. People are watching us, and we do affect their behavior. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is PSN number 40, the new paradigm of sports nutrition. A paradigm is a model or set of concepts, beliefs, and values that constitute a way of viewing reality in the intellectual sense. So what is your paradigm of reality? Have you actually thought about it? What do you think is going on? That's your paradigm. Let's have a look at what many people think today about food and health and decide if we agree with their paradigms or some of the paradigms that people persuade themselves into believing. Some people think you take supplements to compensate for a bad diet. They continue to eat refined processed food as daily staples, thinking that a single Centrum from the drugstore will cover all of their mistakes. Most of these people also believe they get pretty much everything they need from the food they eat, but nothing could be farther from the truth. The new paradigm of sports nutrition is that you add the finest supplements you can find to the best possible diet you can eat, and then combine that strategy with controlled exercise. The new paradigm of sports nutrition focuses on health first and function long term. It parallels nutrition science and clinical research in human performance. The objective is to minimize damage to the body as we age, extend health span, and maximize quality of life. Here's how I see the functional role of NHPs, natural health products. Whole food alone versus combining whole food with supplements is similar to the difference between iron and steel. Let's liken iron to the best diet you could possibly choose, and steel to that same diet supplemented with the best known NHPs. Iron is strong. It's very strong. But steel is stronger, more flexible, and more resistant to oxidation than iron alone. To create steel, you have to add a tiny bit of carbon to iron. Carbon is analogous to dietary supplements, and steel is analogous to whole foods combined with supplements. We all have a limited shelf life. The goal is to serve and protect. One man chooses iron, good choice. I choose steel. Now, according to medical research, lifestyle, 48%, is more important than genetics, 26%, in the evaluation of optimum health and longevity. Although genetics, environment, 16%, and medical care, 10%, are important variables. So medical care represents only 10% of the value in relation to our health and outcome. This is a huge paradigm shift in science and thought, as past generations have been conditioned to believe that genetics through determinism, not lifestyle or environment, has been almost entirely responsible for the way everyone turns out. We've all heard the woman or the guy blame their state and genetics and their parents for the way they are, instead of taking responsibility and making the changes, which we know are reliable. And if we're consistent and apply them with intelligence, we know that we can change our state. We absolutely know this. Unfortunately, millions still believe in the erroneous notion that most disease and illness is a consequence of destiny or fate, as opposed to something we can prevent and control. Remember Terminator and Arnold? Fate is what we make, and the future is not set. Scientists now concede that neither nature nor nurture alone can explain the complex molecular processes that ultimately govern human health and disease. The presence of a particular gene or mutation in most cases merely signifies a predisposition to a particular disease process. Now, whether that genetic potential will eventually manifest as a disease depends on a complex interplay between the human genome, that's the set of genes inside of us, environmental and behavioral factors. So, you know, you might have a set of genes, but you might behave much differently than your identical twin who behaves different from you and gets different outcomes. So behavior and environment also plays a huge role. This shift in paradigm has been instrumental in the development of numerous multidisciplinary gene-based approaches to the study of health and disease. Although genes are critical for determining function, nutrition, which is related to environment, it's part of the environment. The food that you eat is outside of you. That's your environment. Okay, so think of nutrition as the environment. That element, that variable, modifies the extent to which genes are expressed and thereby modulates whether someone can attain the potential established by their genetics and ethnology. If you are doing what needs to be done and you've got a set of genes and you're bathing them in the right environment, you're going to get a great outcome. Nutrigenomics, now this is a great new field and it's important to study and know. This refers to the study of the effects of nutrients on the expression of an individual's genetic makeup. This field is concerned with the impact of dietary components on the genome, the proteome, which is the sum total of all proteins, and the metabolome, which is the sum of all metabolites. The fact remains that nutrition has a major impact on gene expression and genetic stability. Now, here's another paradigm. Our Paleolithic cousins, who often consumed more omega-3s than omega-6s, burned body fat for energy more efficiently and maintained a leaner, more muscular physique with a rapid metabolic rate. Ketosis allowed early human hunters to function with high energy and physical strength in much the same way as other predators and carnivorous animals that also were in a state of continuous ketosis. Of course, you can still see them today. Just head down to your local gym and look for the muscle heads, especially the ones that are cranking. They often have a really tight diet that keeps them lean. In some medical conditions, such as epilepsy, and of course in competitive bodybuilding, achieving a state of ketosis is necessary for optimizing fatty acid catabolism or reducing body fat to extremely low levels. Ketogenic diets emphasize a high intake of fat, ideally good fats, living fats, real fats, non-hydrogenated, not fried, reducing or completely eliminating carbs, even the good carbs, and consuming a moderate to high amount of protein. Again, good quality protein. Wild game is the best. Long-term studies with respect to human performance show that the body adapts to a low-carbohydrate diet by reprogramming skeletal muscles through gene expression to oxidize fats more efficiently. Sapiens are highly adaptable creatures. Side effects generally associated with ketosis are caused more so from the types of fat and sugar eaten today than the rearrangement of calorie sources, which includes the deletion of carbs. Keep in mind that carbohydrates, unlike certain amino acids and fatty acids and, of course, the essential vitamins and minerals, carbohydrates are not essential for sapiens to consume. I mean, this is a big truism you got to connect with, because once you understand that, you know intellectually that you don't ever need to eat a carb. So when you go on a low-carb diet, maybe you've been on a high-carb diet for a long time, expect to go through some changes. It might not be comfortable. It might be very inconvenient. You might get irritable or tired, but that's just the process. Just the same way that someone who's out of shape gets into shape and they've got to go through that process, which is not necessarily enjoyable, but the outcome will be. In practical terms, however, because we've become inefficient sugar burners, that's what most people are. They're sugar burners, not efficient fat burners. Many of us can't function without a direct hit of sugar from time to time throughout the day. Little sugar here, little candy here, little piece of pie here, little fast food here. That due to adrenal exhaustion, micronutrient insufficiency, thyroid abnormalities, insulin resistance, low blood sugar, and pancreatic disturbance, we don't feel all that hot. So this is what's driving this sugar craving. You've got to get off that dance. Now, some of the ketogenic diets promoted today include some very poor quality sources of fat and protein. This undermines the benefits of ketosis and skews the data associated with this unique dietary program. So, you know, I don't advocate cheese whiz on celery. You know, I recommend good, clean, whole food. Doesn't matter what kind of a diet, whether you're having carbs or not. The diet, that's first and foremost the principle of quality. Choose food quality. And then get into the rearrangement or the changing aspects of fats, carbs, and proteins. You know, to each their own, and you got to experiment with this. Much of what Western society believes about nutrition is a distortion of science and truth. Now, this is another paradigm, especially concerning the significance of food as a healing device and its proven connection to chronic disease and premature death as a causative agent. So if you're one of those people, maybe not listening, but a person out there who doesn't believe that food has any significance whatsoever, that's a paradigm. Okay, they need to shift. They need to get in touch with reality and science. And what keeps them away from that is not putting their head down and studying the science, going to classes, taking in clinics, reading books on this. For example, the same people who deny the use of creatine or whey protein isolate for fear of kidney damage, oh, you can't use that stuff, it's bad for kids, bad for the kidneys, bad for health. Now, they are almost always severely dehydrated and hyperacidic. That's my experience through observation. And they have no idea how much protein they actually require in biological terms. So they're often undersupplied or consuming hamburgers and salami and pizza and getting the worst junk garbage proteins you can imagine. Without even knowing it, they're often attached to much greater health risks based on what they eat and drink, which they commonly think is healthy because this approach that they take is condoned by convention and schools and the education system and governments and nutrition research councils, big pharma, medicine. They're all in on it. That's a huge weight that a lot of people just like, you know, bow down to. Conventional health professionals may scoff at the healing power of natural food and dietary supplements when compared to their drug pharmacology. However, when combined with physical activity and controlled exercise, optimum nutrition still offers the most potent and reliable means of achieving optimum health and maintaining a state of wellness long term. Prevention is always better than treatment. Remember, you don't need to treat a disease that does not exist. And the reason it does not exist is because you are preventing its occurrence. You're not a victim. You're not going to be struck down by lightning. That's not what a viral or bacterial infection is. It's a decline in the operating system of your body in most cases. Unfortunately, most of us have been exposed from birth to a huge amount of neatly packaged false information, twisted information, deceitful information pertaining to nutrition, beginning first in the home via TV, that's a big one, our parents and extended family, and then continuing in elementary school all the way up through the educational system, including university. Instead of becoming highly trained experts in the care and management of our own bodies, a upon high school graduation, we end up in middle age not having a clue how to exercise, eat right, or use herbs and natural medicine for our own benefit. In fact, most of what we know about healthcare is based on the experience of how we ourselves or the people we love respond to medical intervention, often in a state of fear and emergency, and mainly because of decay, injury, and disease. Over time, our perception of medicine becomes a paradigm of treatment rather than prevention, being more an osmotic derivative of exposure to commercial television, radio, and newspaper advertising, instead of reliance on biological science, exercise physiology, and truly objective nutritional medicine. I mean, this is in essence why I created the CSNA education program, to get the facts out and to help people make better decisions. It tends to be reactive and panic-driven rather than proactive, with a solid measure of self-control and self-reliance. In your own private or professional circle, how many people do you know who are really taking excellent care of themselves? How many people have what it takes, including the will and knowledge, to do the job right? And how many people who actually know how to get well and even teach it as a philosophy are actually doing the work of health themselves day in and day out consistently? To set that example and be the champion of your own health is a great personal challenge. In fact, that's my number one objective in life. Many foods contain protein structures called lectins, which are incompatible with specific blood type antigens. Here's another paradigm. Lectins are defined as proteins that bind or cross-link with carbs. Gluten, we all know what gluten is. Gluten is one of the most common lectins. It's an actual lectin. A lot of people don't know that gluten is a lectin. Okay, it's got lectins in it. It's present in wheat and other grains, which as a major food staple in North America poses a potentially significant health risk. This is one of the reasons why eating bread, pasta, buns, bagels, or cakes and cookies as food staples isn't recommended. Yes, even fresh ground, whole grain meal or flour, organic, I don't care. But this idea is completely foreign to mainstream thinking, as most of us have had bread stuffed down our throat since infancy, along with pasteurized cow's milk, biscuits, candy, and refined breakfast cereals. I mean, bread is so intricately woven into our paradigm of sound nutrition, so-called, that some people cannot accept life as a possibility without a ration of their, quote, daily bread, unquote. For many, it's even woven into their religious beliefs and customs. Any construct or healing paradigm that challenges status quo, especially a new one that lacks the scientific backup required by skeptics, is seldom received without resistance or ridicule. But what is true is that evidence accepted as fact today was preceded by men and women who stepped out of the box, paid attention to details, and as eyewitnesses recorded what they saw without fear of reprisal. That's the key one right there. They're courageous and they do what they do because they know they're right and they continue doing it and then eventually they succeed. Anecdote, which is rejected by conventional science, is often a forerunner of magnificent discovery, and science just confirms it. So don't dismiss anecdote 100%. It's not proof in itself. It's limited. But that is often what it takes to move forward and discover something fantastic. An amazing number of people have no idea how food affects their health, and no matter how sick or disabled they become, and for reasons incomprehensible to many, they refuse to even consider the possibility that what they eat or their lack of physical condition may be related to their state of mind and body. This pertains to health professionals and scientists just as much as it does to lay people, and in some cases, even more so. Every mouthful of food is often taken for granted, and throughout the world, especially in modern society, there exists an astonishing degree of ignorance regarding the effects of food and exercise on human health. So, what is your personal paradigm when it comes to food, fitness, and health? Are you convinced that whole food has the power to prevent disease and heal a broken body? Or that dietary supplements added to a great diet are like the difference between iron and steel? The secret of steel is a mystery. We must learn its discipline. We must understand this puzzle. Each one of us, in our own way, must solve the riddle of steel. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from German theoretical physicist Max Planck. A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it.